he and those with him, how he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we just thank you and praise you for the Gospel of Mark and the passage we read this evening. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed the Lord of creation. Thank you, Father, that he is the one who created all things, and in him all things consist. We thank you, Father, that he is also the head of the body, the church. And we thank you, Father, as we look tonight at him being the Lord of the Sabbath. Just pray that you would bless us as we look at your word. Give me wisdom and clarity, and pray that I'd be faithful to speak your word for the edification of the church. We thank you, Father, and guide us this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we've been going through the Gospel according to Mark lately, which has been a great blessing. We're thankful for the Gospel according to Mark for its Mark's unique perspective, how it's the shortest gospel, and Mark writes as one of the most, well, the most concise of the authors of the Gospels. As I've been going through, it's been a blessing to notice how he's very concise in places, but even in some accounts, he gives more details almost than Matthew or Luke, or he sometimes gives extra details that weren't included in either gospel. So it's been a blessing just to notice the unique perspectives of each of the authors of the gospels as we go through this account. This account today of Christ basically refuting the Pharisees about the Sabbath. This is in all synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So far what we've been learning in Mark chapter 2, we've been seeing how, well, Christ has been healing. He has been healing lepers. He's been healing all sorts of diseases. But we begin to see in chapter 2 how he's definitely becoming at odds with the Pharisees. The first part of chapter 2, we saw how he forgave sins when he healed the man who was paralyzed. He begins eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners when he ate at Matthew's house, and he wasn't fasting like the Pharisees were. So we see here in this passage how the Pharisees begin confronting Christ and almost looking to make him stumble or to accuse him. So in chapter 2, I'll just divide this up into two parts. It's pretty straightforward. In chapter 2, verse 23 through 28, we see how Christ refutes the Pharisees and the Sabbath and their doctrine of the Sabbath. And then in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, we see how he refutes the Pharisees by healing a man on the Sabbath day. So let's go ahead and I'll just read through just the first couple verses here in chapter 2, verse 23 again. So Mark says, "Now it happened that he," that is Christ, "went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. And as they went, his disciples began to pluck the heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath?'" So I'll just divide this up into parts here. We see here there's really three main groups of people here. We have our Lord, we have Jesus Christ, and we have the Pharisees who are seeking to seeking to basically attack Jesus Christ. And then we have one in need. In this case, it is Christ's disciples. So we see that Jesus and his disciples are walking through the grain fields on the Sabbath. Of course, we know that Galilee was primarily an agricultural society, so they're going through the grain fields, and they're doing this on the Sabbath day, that is the day of rest. And they have a need. The disciples are hungry. But we know that Jesus and his disciples have been going all over the place. We read in chapter 1, verse 5, Jesus was almost avoiding the crowds. I think it's later in chapter 3, there was a crowd all gathered together at Jesus' house so they could not so much as eat bread. So it's not really surprising here that they were hungry. They were going to and fro. So this is on the Sabbath. And so the disciples, since they were hungry, they're going through the grain fields, they began to pluck the heads of grain and to eat it. So I assume that the grain here is probably not quite hardened. It's a little green, so they begin plucking it. And Luke says that they're rubbing it with their hands and just eating it because they are hungry. Now, in our society, their society is a little different. Our society, if we're going through and you begin plucking someone's corn out of their garden, we might think that's a problem, like it's robbing. But God provided for it for his people in the law of Moses. In Deuteronomy 23, 24, and 25, I think specifically 25, God specifically lays out for the Israelites, if they are hungry, they can go into a neighbor's field and pluck the heads of grain with their hands, and they can eat them. But you cannot bring a sickle in, because that would be considered harvesting someone else's field and thus basically robbing. So the disciples are doing what is perfectly legal, but it's on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees begin, they see this, so the Pharisees' response to this need, they say to Jesus, look, they are doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath. Of course, we know that the Sabbath is very important in the law of Moses and in the Ten Commandments. If you actually want to turn over to Exodus 20 real quick, we'll read the fourth commandment, what God gave to Moses on the mountain. Exodus 20, verse 8, God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. So Moses is referring to when God originally instituted the Sabbath. It didn't originally come from Moses, but God, in Genesis 2, set apart the seventh day as a ray of rest for his people. So the Pharisees see the disciples plucking grain, and they're saying, they're violating, they're doing work on the Sabbath. And so in doing this, because they are attacking the disciples of violating the Sabbath, in essence, they are implying that Jesus is in violation of the Sabbath because his disciples are, that he is allowing them to break the Sabbath, and so Jesus is thus guilty. I think that's what the Pharisees are ultimately doing. Of course, we know back in the Old Testament that the Sabbath was often violated by the people of God, from everywhere from Numbers to Nehemiah, to Isaiah to Jeremiah. People did not respect God's Sabbath. So the Pharisees apparently are trying to keep God's law on the Sabbath at the expense of the disciples' hunger. But what does Jesus say? We see how Christ responds to the disciples' need. We read in verses 25 through 28. Christ says, well, he refers to Scripture. He refers to the Old Testament. He says in verse 25, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those who were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest and ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, except for the priests, and also gave some to those who were with him. So I'll just stop there. So Jesus refers to a scripture, to what David, a man after God's own heart, did when he was in need and hungry. So let's turn over to 1 Samuel 21 briefly, just so we can get that in its context. Okay, so 1 Samuel 21, and the chapter, right now David is fleeing from Saul because Saul is now actively seeking to kill David. It's no longer a matter of doubt. Basically, Saul has told Jonathan, cursed David before Jonathan's eyes, and he is actively seeking to kill David. So David flees, and he comes to Nob, to the priests. So I'll start reading 1 Samuel 21. Now David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid when he met David, and said to him, "Why are you alone, and no one is with you?" So David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has ordered me on some business, and said to me, 'Do not let anyone know anything about the business on which I send you, or what I have commanded you. And I have directed my young men to such and such a place. Now therefore, what have you on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or whatever can be found.' And the priest answered David and said, 'There is no common bread on hand, but there is holy bread, if the young men have at least kept themselves from women.' Then David answered the priest and said to him, 'Truly women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in fact common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day.' So the priest gave him holy bread, for there was no bread there but the showbread, which had been taken from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place on the day when it was taken away." So I'll stop there. So just go through this one by one. So Jesus refers to David, the situation of David when he was in need and hungry. David, he was in need and hungry. He was fleeing from Saul. He was in a much more desperate strait, you can say, than the disciples. He had some men with him. He was basically running for his life, and he comes to Ahimelech, the priest. And I'll just make a note there. I know Mark says in the days of Abiathar, the high priest. Abiathar is, in fact, the son of Ahimelech. He is the only priest that escaped after Saul slaughtered all the priests at Nob, after David had escaped. So Mark is referring to the son of Ahimelech, who was priest in, when David became king. So anyway, David asks for bread. He asks for help from the priest of God at Nob. And it's interesting that the priest answered David and says, so David asks for food, for help. And Ahimelech says to him that there is no common bread, but there is holy bread if the young men have kept themselves from women. Now, this is the holy show bread before the Lord. And it is very holy and consecrated. I don't have time to read everything, but Moses made a special table for the showbread. We can read in Exodus and in Leviticus 24, 5-9, we see how the priests were to set the showbread before the Lord every Sabbath. And it was only for Aaron and his sons. It was most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And it was 12 loaves of bread, kind of picturing for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this was, as it says in the Law of Moses, this is only for the priests, as Jesus says in Mark. However, Ahimelech offers it to David if the young men have kept themselves from women, if that is, if they have kept themselves pure. So it's very interesting. It almost seems that he is defying the Law of Moses, but he gives it to David, and the David says, it's interesting, David says that the bread is in effect common, even though it was consecrated in the vessel this day. So we don't ultimately see in 1 Samuel whether this was, we can't immediately tell whether it was approved by God or not. But Christ references this passage. David ate of the holy things, which is seemingly a violation of the ceremonial law, but Christ apparently references it and declares that David was just in this matter. And so therefore, and Christ declares that he was just. And he says, furthermore, if we go back to Mark chapter 2, verse 27 and 28, Jesus makes reference to this, how David did this. And Jesus makes this very profound statement. Verse 27, and he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So Jesus here is declaring, justifying David, and he says, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And you might ask, where is Jesus? He's not just a teacher. He is speaking with authority and not as the scribes. He is speaking with authority and says, therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. So he is justifying his disciples with authority. And I'll just go back through here. He says in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Christ, as we know, God created man on the sixth day of creation. He formed him of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And then, on the seventh day, God rested and blessed the seventh day for all his work which he had made. And he rested and made it as a pattern for his creation, for man to rest. So Jesus says this was the purpose of the Sabbath. It was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. And he gives a further statement here, verse 28. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. And this is a very, very profound and most controversial is an understatement. Controversial statement. He says, he, as the Son of Man, is Lord of the Sabbath. God is the one who created the Sabbath. God is the one who created it on the seventh day. But we know that Jesus, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made, John 1:3. So Jesus is, in effect, himself claiming to be God and the Son of Man. He's saying, because of this, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. We don't see the Pharisees' response to this right there. That almost you could think they would be speechless at that claim of our Lord. So Jesus declares the disciples just because he had authority to do it as the Son of Man and as Lord of the Sabbath. And we go on from there. Mark just doesn't leave us there, but he goes on to a case where Christ is also justified on the Sabbath. So we go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It's a similar situation. So we read 3, verse 1. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. So I'll just stop there. So we have a similar situation, but different. Christ entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, and I think this is a different Sabbath. It's not the same day. He's teaching on the synagogue on the Sabbath, and there is a man there who had a withered hand. So this is the need. There's a man who has had a withered hand. It's also dried up, parched, and it's withered. So it's completely dried up. It has no life, and he can't do anything. So he's, in effect, crippled. Especially in that society, you needed your hands to labor and to work, to fish, to work the ground, do crafts. He was in effect crippled. And I think Luke says it was his right hand that was withered. He probably had to beg because he had a withered hand. So there was this man who had a withered hand, and the Pharisees see the need too, but their eyes are not fixed on the need. They don't care about the need, but they watch Jesus closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, specifically so that they might accuse him. So that's the Pharisees' goal here. If it wasn't clear in the on the grain passage, it's clear now. This is the Pharisees' goal, to accuse Christ. So, we read in verse 3. Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, step forward, or rise up, stand in the midst. So the man obeys Jesus. So Jesus makes it clear. He brings him out into the middle of the synagogue. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, then he said to them, verse 4, is it, to all the people sitting by, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they kept silent. So Jesus knows their thoughts. He knows what they're thinking. And I think the Pharisees expect that Jesus is going to heal on them. So Jesus makes a very reasonable question to them, very simple. Is it lawful on the Sabbath, that is God's holy day of rest, to do good or to do evil? Is it okay to save life? Is it better to kill? In Matthew, Jesus asks the question, which of you having an ox or a donkey that has fallen into a pit on the Sabbath will not lay hold of it and lift it out? So Jesus answers the question there. It's rhetorical. On God's holy day, on the Sabbath, it is lawful to do good. But the Pharisees don't answer. They do not care regarding this man. They don't seem to care, if anything, but accusing Jesus. So we read in verse 5 of Jesus' response to them. He says, and when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, and then he heals the man. But I'll stop there. So because of their response, their hard-heartedness, Jesus looks around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And this instance where you see Jesus' response, his emotion toward the people, we see he had anger because he was grieved. This is only in Mark that we see this here. He's the Son of God, but the Son of Man, and so he has compassion on them, or he feels, he mourns. He's grieved because they are rejecting him. They're not willing to come to him that they may have life. Matthew Henry had a good note here. I'll just read it. He says, it is a great grief to our Lord Jesus to see sinners bent upon their own ruin and obstinately set against the methods of their conviction and recovery. For he would not that any should perish. This is a good reason why the hardness of our own hearts and of the hearts of others should be a grief to us. So we see that Jesus was truly grieved by the hardness of their hearts. And so, but he's grieved by the hardness of their hearts, but then he says to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And I'm just going to stop here. This is a beautiful picture here. So this man has a withered hand. It is dried up. It is lifeless. And Jesus says to him, stretch out your hand. He couldn't do this of himself. Like, Christ had to give him power to do it. But he still had to give the will. He still had to have the will to stretch it out. And I think it's a beautiful picture of salvation. We only receive life through the Holy Spirit convicting us of sin, but we still must respond. We must believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to have life. So this man has a withered hand, and he stretches it out, and Christ heals him, makes him whole, and it was restored as completely as whole as the other. There should be rejoicing over this, but the Pharisees do not. We see immediately in verse 6, the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. We see here that even though Jesus Christ came bringing life, salvation, and healing, the Pharisees rejected this. They rejected the life of Jesus Christ and said they seek to kill him. And so they went out and plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him. So, this is kind of to a great extreme here. The Pharisees, you might say, are on the far right of the political factions of that time. Herodians were those allied to Herod, seeking Herod, and the Romans. And so they were like completely on the opposite spectrum. So we see here that the Pharisees, because of their desire to get rid of Jesus, to destroy him, they go and seek the opposite side of their, basically almost their sworn enemies, to unite and go and seek Jesus. So their hearts are indeed hard. So that's their response, and that is indeed hard. But before we go, it's interesting. Jesus healing on the Sabbath. This is I think the only time we see here in Mark, but in Luke we have two more accounts where Jesus heals on the Sabbath: Luke 13:11-16 and Luke 14:1-6. So Jesus clearly shows that he is Lord of the Sabbath. He can heal and make alive on the Sabbath day. And but we see that the Pharisees, they ultimately don't love the word of God. They're not ultimately seeking God's law, but they were seeking their own devices and their own power. As Jesus Christ said that, basically says that the Pharisees strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And then in Matthew 23, that they pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. I forgot to read it, but in Matthew 12, when going through the grain fields, Jesus, you can read back there, that Jesus says that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. And that's why Jesus Christ came, to provide mercy and grace upon them, upon his people. I'll just read a couple passages here in closing. We know that Christ is Lord of the Sabbath, but if we want to turn to Isaiah 58, I just thought I'd read this regarding the Sabbath, what it was, part of what was intended, what God formed it to be. He didn't make it to be, he formed it for his people. Isaiah 58, I'll just read verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, not finding your own pleasure, not speaking your own words. And then verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So that God's desire was for his people to love the Lord, to seek him with all their heart, and call the Sabbath a delight, to delight themselves in the Lord, not to make it a matter of their own law and keeping, making their own salvation of works. And I thought of also of Psalm 51 as we close tonight. We read, I'll just turn to it real quick. But we know that God does not ultimately delight in man's sacrifices, because that's why our Lord Jesus Christ came to bear our sins on the tree. He says the purpose of the law was to bring us to Christ. It was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But I'll close in Psalm 51:16-17. He says, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. So I'll just call us today that we let us go before the Lord with a broken and contrite spirit, not seeking our own works to please him. But anyway, I'll go. Does anyone have any questions? Comments? All right, I'll go ahead and pray, and then we can dismiss. Thank you, Father, for your word in the Gospel of Mark. We thank you, Father, that our Lord Jesus Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. We thank you, Father, that that he accomplished the law, he has wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. The veil was torn in two from top to bottom when he perished on the tree. We thank you, Father, for him, and just pray, Father, that you would bless us to walk seeking you with a whole heart this day, and bless us this week. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.